Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Again today, we thank you for joining us for the Way of Truth broadcast. We have been studying this week, after death, what then? And we were studying yesterday about where are the dead? That is, when a person dies, the body is taken out to a cemetery, or in some cases, there's cremation. But is that all there is? We've established the fact earlier in this week that man is a dual being. He is a spirit or soul that lives within this physical body. The Bible refers to the earthly house of this tabernacle. If it be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So at death, the spirit leaves the body, and the spirit maintains a separate conscious existence. But where does it maintain that existence? Where do souls go at death to await the final resurrection? The King James Version translates a number of Greek words into one word, that is, hell. And Hades is translated hell in the King James Version in a number of passages. But it should be noted that the four different Greek words all given the same translation: Hades, Gehenna, Tartarus, Sheol. Now, Hades means the place to which all spirits go, regardless of their moral character. Hades primarily means the unseen or invisible world, the place of departed spirits, though unseen to people on earth, yet not unseen to God. Always in the New Testament, Hades signifies only the region of disembodied spirits, and the grave denotes only the place where the human body goes. Now, the Greek scholar Thayer defines Hades as the common receptacle of disembodied spirits. Greek English Lexicon, page 11. Now, the Greek word Hades occurs 10 times in the New Testament scriptures. In the American Standard Version of 1901, the Greek word Hades is never translated hell. Now, another Greek word, Gehenna, that denotes the final abode of the wicked, the hell of fire. And in both the King James and American Standard Version, it's always translated as hell. And Gehenna occurs 12 times in the Greek New Testament. Thus, Jesus did not say that the rich man lifted up his eyes in Gehenna, nor did Peter say that Christ's soul was left in Gehenna. Instead, their spirit was in Hades, while the body was in the tomb. The rich man and Lazarus were not in their final destinations of heaven and hell. They were in the Hadean world. The account of them speaks of conditions before the final judgment day. For the rich man still had five brothers on this earth. The resurrection and final judgment had not yet occurred, and will not occur until the end of time. In both references, the word is Hades, the realm of disembodied spirits. Now, when the King James translation was made, the English word hell meant both the unseen place of the dead, the Hadean world, and the place of eternal punishment after judgment, the Greek word Gehenna. The American Standard translators, knowing that the word hell no longer had the meaning of the two Greek words, and realizing there was different words in the original Greek language, gave Hades an English spelling and left it in the text. And every place where Gehenna is found, they translated it hell, and they put the word Gehenna in the footnote. Now, another word, Tartarus, occurs only one time in the Greek New Testament scriptures. It's translated hell in both the King James and the American Standard Version, and it's found in 2 Peter 2, verse 4. God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. The reference here is to fallen angels. It's similar to Jude's statement concerning them in Jude verse 6. And these angels are now in Tartarus awaiting judgment. So Tartarus is a compartment of the Hadean world occupied by wicked spirits between death and the resurrection as they await the final judgment. The word paradise refers to the abode of righteous in the Hadean world. When we compare Christ's reply to the thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise," Luke 23, verse 43, and with Peter's statement about Christ, "Neither was his soul left in Hades," Acts 2:31. A person begins to see then that paradise is a compartment of the Hadean world. Christ went to Hades, into that compartment that's called paradise. So paradise is in Hades. The Bible teaches that there are two divisions in Hades, paradise and Tartarus. Although both the good and the bad go to Hades at death, their condition there is not the same. Some are in a state of bliss, a state of comfort, a state of happiness. Others are in a state of misery, a state of torment. And the word paradise is also applied to the eternal home of the redeemed, which they will inherit after the final judgment day. The word primarily means a pleasure garden, a place of delight. Paradise is used in the scriptures in the sense of the Garden of Eden. It was a paradise. It's also used as a place of rest for the righteous spirits after death. And it's also referred to in Revelation 22 as heaven. Paradise is any place prepared for enjoyment. It signifies a condition of enjoyment. Paradise may be used properly to describe man's original home, or the place where righteous spirits go at death to await the resurrection, or their final home after the judgment, that is heaven. When Christ said to that thief on the cross that both he and the thief would be together that day in paradise, he referred to the place of rest for disembodied spirits. To be in paradise with Christ did not and could not mean a state of unconsciousness, non-existence, or heaven. Note that Christ did not ascend to heaven until 40 days after his resurrection, Luke 24, verse 50 and 51. If Jesus and the penitent robber were together in paradise following his death on the cross, if Jesus went to the Hadean world, therefore paradise is in Hades, and Jesus and the robber were together in this place of Hades while they were together in paradise. So paradise in Luke 23:43 does not refer to the eternal heaven, but to that place where the disembodied spirits go. On the third day after his crucifixion, Christ came out of Hades. His body was raised from the dead. The spirit of the thief, on the other hand, did not come out of Hades. His body remained in the grave, his spirit in the Hadean world, and awaiting the final resurrection and the final judgment. Some teach that since the ascension of Christ, righteous souls now go immediately to heaven. The idea that paradise has now been transferred to heaven, however, is not supported in the scriptures. Both the rich man and Lazarus were in Hades, but they were not in the same compartment. One was comforted, the other was tormented. And there was a great gulf of separation between the two, Luke 16:23. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. Surely means a place of rest, equivalent to paradise. And souls of believers at death pass into a state of blessedness. They remain in that state until the resurrection, at which time they will be exalted to the final bliss of eternal heaven. And just as there is a place of bliss for the righteous immediately after death, there's also a place of torment in Hades for those who have not lived according to God's will. The rich man went to Hades at death as well, but he lifted up his eyes in torments. He was in anguish. He was not in the final eternal hell, but he was in a place of anguish nonetheless. So both good and bad spirits are in Hades, the rich man tormented, Lazarus comforted, and the punishment of the ungodly awaiting final separation from God. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to keep the righteous, unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment. So there's a distinction made between Tartarus and paradise and Gehenna and the final awaiting place. It's important to notice that there is a waiting place, and there is this place of comfort, a place of torment. Now, there's a scripture that's frequently misunderstood, and that is in 1 Peter 4, verse 6. Here the writer refers to the preaching of the gospel to them that are dead. The statement means that the gospel had been preached to living people, although at the time of this writing, they were dead. There's no second chance for one to get from one place of the Hadean world over to the other. The rich man wanted Lazarus to come over to dip his finger in water to cool his tongue. He said, I'm in torments in this flame. But the scriptures inform that there is a great gulf, there's a great separation, there's a great chasm separating the two, so that one cannot cross over from one place to the other, and there is not a second chance of coming forth from this place. The Bible does not teach vicarious baptism, the practice of baptizing living people on behalf of dead people. Paul makes a statement in 1 Corinthians 15:29 that people are baptized with a view to the resurrection of their dead bodies. And the central idea of 1 Corinthians 15 is that man's resurrection is dependent upon Christ's resurrection. It's impossible for one to be baptized for another, either living or dead. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that's obedient, and in the words of Christ, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And one's own obedience will determine his final resting place. Well, what about the idea of purgatory? We sometimes hear that. That's the theory that in Hades there are souls that can make satisfaction by suffering for sins committed after baptism. And after a period of time, depending on the degree of their guilt, they can be purged from this place of torment and go to heaven. Those who hold to this theory believe that the church on earth has the power by her prayers and the sacrifices of Mass to shorten those sufferings or even to remit them altogether so that one can be delivered, that he might, in a sense, have a second chance. But we learn it's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. There is no second chance. There is no deliverance from this Hadean world to a place of paradise if one is in torments there. And the word purgatory is totally unknown to the scriptures, and the idea of it is unknown to the scriptures. And there's no implication of any kind of praying for the dead because their destiny is sealed. My friend, have you made your preparation to be with God? Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.